simple but a very sincere question, first of all, and I don't want you to look around. I just want you to answer it inside of yourself. And this is the question. How many of you truly have a desire to have a better prayer life? How many of you have a desire for a better prayer life? Would you just raise your hand where you are? Okay, I want to tell you, this message is for you. There is a scene in Scripture that the Holy Spirit captured that I believe echoes the heart of every true follower of Christ, and it's recorded only one time. But I believe that only because you read it one time, I don't believe that that's the only time it happened. In fact, I believe during the 3.5 years that Jesus was on earth, it happened over and over and over and over again, multiple times, but we read about it one time. And this is the time when Jesus was praying, his disciples were listening to him talk to the Father, and it planted inside of them a spirit-wrought desire. They went, I want that. I want to be able to pray the way I'm hearing Jesus pray. I want to have that kind of communication with the Father. I want that kind of authority and boldness. I want to have that intimacy that he has. And the disciples, it planted inside of them a desire to do what Jesus was doing. How many of you know where the Lord's Prayer is found in the New Testament? Without looking, just raise your hand if you know the passage where it's found. Two of you. You don't have to look it up. Would you write down Luke chapter 11? Luke chapter 11, just write down, beginning at verse 1. It says, this one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And we know what he taught them that day. The Lord's Prayer has been prayed word for word for over 2,000 years now, and that prayer will be prayed until Jesus comes back again. But how many times did Jesus get up early in the morning, he went off by himself to pray, and how many times did a disciple stir and they followed him out there either right away or when they woke up, they look around, Jesus is not around, and they go and they find him, and as they're walking up, they hear him before they see him. They hear him pray before they see him. And they just stop within earshot. They sit down or they lay down and they just listen to him as he prays. Can you imagine just one moment of being in the presence of Christ when he was praying with the Father? Can you imagine that for a moment? To experience that intimacy, the oneness, the freedom, the conversation that he had, no wonder it stirred inside of them going, Jesus, teach us to do that. We want to do what you're doing. I want to say this again just to get it on tape. I know that during the summertime, half our church is gone. Piles of our young family is gone, especially the long weekend they're gone. If I wasn't pastor, I'd be gone. Did I say that out loud? I did. I said to someone this past week, they said, hey, pastor, hadn't been in church for a couple weeks. I'll be there this Sunday. And I said, yeah, I will be too. And they just laughed at me. Like they expected me to be in church. It was very funny. You had to be there, by the way. But I just want to say this because our young families will catch this in CastBox and they'll pull up on YouTube. But I want to say what you've heard me say many times before. Parents, especially those of you with young children or children in your home, I want you to hear this. Let your children catch you praying. Let them catch you praying. Let them get up in the morning and walk out into the kitchen, and as they walk into the kitchen, catch you sitting at the kitchen table with your hands folded and your eyes closed, praying to Abba at the kitchen table. Let them catch you. Let them wake up in the morning and climb out of bed and wander down the hallway half awake, and as they enter into the living room, they open up their eyes, but they hear you before they see you. Let them walk in and catch you on your knees, on the couch, talking to God, having conversation. Let them catch you. I remember being caught by my kids. I don't even know if they remember it. They walk in the living room while I'm praying, and they climb up on the couch, and they just sit there, and they close their eyes, and they snuggle up. And in that moment, can I tell you, don't stop praying. You continue to pray. And I want to say this, you pray out loud. Out loud. You pray out loud. They will not anything by you being silent. They didn't learn anything with Jesus would have prayed silently. He prayed out loud, and he said, they said to him, teach us how to pray. Parents, let your kids catch you. Let them catch you praying for your spouse. My kids needed to hear me praying for their mom, coming before God and praying for their mom. Can I ask you, do you think our homes would be different if our children caught us praying for our spouses? Let your kids catch you when they walk in and you hear them. Shift your prayer and begin praying for them. Use their name, God. And let them listen as you pray into the circumstances of their little lives, whether they're little kids or whether they're in high school going through hell. Let them hear you pray into their circumstance. Can I tell you why? Because when they hear you pray, and when they know that God hears, it plants inside of them something is going to change. And when it changes, the Holy Spirit will bring back and go, it changed because of what you caught that morning as your parent prayed. I want to ask you a very dumb question. How do you plant inside of your children a love for prayer? It's not hard. How do you plant inside of your kids a love for music? You listen to music. You listen to it. They're raised in it. And they just go, man, my parents listen to music all the time, and I just love listening. Music is planted in me. Can I ask you, how do you plant inside of your kids a love for flowers? You plant flowers. You spend time with flowers. You talk to them about flowers. And the kid grows up, and all they remember is, you know what? Mom, Dad love flowers, and they plant flowers remembering. Can I ask you, how do you plant inside of your kids a love for gaming and TV? Let your kids watch you as a parent spend hours gaming and hours in front of the TV, and the kid goes, that's just what you do. And we wonder why they're addicted, and we wonder why they have a love for it. You shouldn't wonder. But how do you plant inside of a child a love for prayer? You know what? You pray. You pray for them in private. You pray for them when they're listening. You pray with them before they're even out of the womb. You pray for them and let their life be affected by that. You pray for them when they're walking out the door, going to university, or getting that job and they'll be leaving home. Let their life be nothing other than you as a parent praying for them. Someone once said, it's not what's taught, it's what's caught. And let me tell you today, every child is catching what the model of their parent is. Years ago, there was a little book that came out that took the Christian church by storm. I'm going to say the book right away, and I want to find out if you know it. How many of you have read the book, The Prayer of Jabez? How many of you have read that book? Just look around. Hold your hands up. Would you? Look around. Almost all of us. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. How many of you know where the prayer of Jabez is in the Bible? How many of you could just stand up and tell me exactly where it is? How many of you could do that? Who is your pastor? I keep asking that question. Would you write down 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10? 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And I want to say to you, if all you get out of today's sermon is this prayer, remembering where it is, and reading it again, this will not have been a lost morning. I want to read the prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 and 10, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. A couple of things. I'm not preaching on this morning, but a couple of things. Number one, when Jabez prayed this prayer, the Bible says God heard him and granted his request. Can I ask you a question? Does that mean this prayer was in the will of God? would not have answered it if it was not in God's will. What did he pray? I want you to hear this. Jabez prayed, God, would you bless me? Can I ask you a question? Don't raise your hand. Have any of you ever struggled in your lifetime? No problem praying for other people, but you had a problem praying for yourself. Did I tell you, I believe when that book came out and that book highlighted the prayer of Jabez, that book cut through, and I believe it shattered the long-held belief that to pray for yourself was selfish. You just don't do that. Praise God. When this book came out and it highlighted the prayer of Jabez that God heard and God answered, it finally dawned, obviously, it's not wrong to pray for me, and it's not wrong to pray, God, would you bless me? Would you empower me to prosper? And look at what else he said. God, would you enlarge my territory? Wow. Can I ask you what he was praying? I'll tell you, somebody I know who knows how to pray, enlarge my territory. When I first met Bill Winston and heard Bill Winston, can I tell you, Bill Winston doesn't even come up to my chin. You don't have to be a big man on the outside to be a big man on the inside. Some of the strongest, most powerful men are not strong in stature and big in stature, but if you could see their spirit, man, they are giants. Bill Winston is somebody who prays with boldness, God, enlarge my territory. God, increase my influence. God, would you give me new ground? God, would you empower me to take back what the enemy has stolen? God, would you give me the city of Chicago? Is it wrong to pray that? Look at it. God, would you grant me? Oh, would you bless me? And would you enlarge my territory? Could we learn from that? Then he prays, God, let your hand be with me. We could talk all day about that, but I love this part. He says, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. I want you to think about it. No doubt that Jabez was surrounded by pain. In fact, the Bible takes a brief moment to say he began with pain. His mom was in great pain when she gave birth to Jabez. Because of the great pain, he called him, you are a pain. Jabez means pain. Can you imagine growing up and you have the name and you go, what does it mean? It means you pain in the butt. Well, where did I get that from? Well, I gave that to you because you are a pain in my life. And you go around living, wow, that's a great name, isn't it? Jabez means pain. Surrounded by it, it began with it. You know that he had it in his life. It is not surprising at all that Jabez would come to the point where he prays, God, as your child, would you keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain? Can I just say this here really clearly? If you were raised in a church or you're a believer who believes in suffering theology, that it's God who wants you to suffer, God makes you suffer to teach you, God will leave you in suffering, that this is his punishment or his judgment on your life, you say, God, would you get rid of that? It doesn't go, and you go, well, I guess God wants me to live with this suffering. If you're that way, you could never pray this prayer. I think it's so interesting that so many people who struggle with the fact that God wants us healthy, when their kids get sick, the first thing they do is give them medicine and take them to the doctor. Well, why the heck would you do that if you don't believe that God wants them healthy? You want them healthy. If you really believe God is fine with sickness, keep your kid at home and let them. Have you ever figured that one out? Jabez prayed a prayer. He said, God, would you keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain? I want to say this. We are surrounded by pain in our world. But not just that, some of us have had pain move into our camp. And pain is a very present emotion in our life, if not physically, mentally, relationally. The prayer of Jabez woke people up, and they began to pray, God, would you keep me from harm so I can be free from pain? If you don't know how to pray that, you probably won't pray it. Powerful. I just want to say this. Bruce Wilkinson was invited to come to a conference up in Edmonton a number of years ago. And it was a worship conference. Many of us were there in the January. Bruce Wilkinson spoke. It was the most interesting thing. When he came to Edmonton, he came a few days early without letting anybody know. He went outside the conference center and he dressed like a bum. He dressed with raggy clothes and he put on stinky stuff and he sat outside there and he wanted to watch for 2 days before the conference what all of these born-again, so-called evangelical worship Christians would do walking in the door. For 2 days, he said, he experienced sitting on that step in front of that conference center before that worship conference. He experienced a church that walked to the other side of the road and left him in that place without ever talking to him. I'll tell you what I experienced before, never have experienced before. Bruce Wilkinson got up, preached a message. At the end of it, he spoke a word of judgment over Edmonton, over the churches in Alberta. He spoke a word of judgment that was powerful. If you were there, every hair on your head was standing up, and he had an altar call. I went forward because it was like, you know what, God, you got to change me. Can I tell you what happened? They erased his message so nobody could get it. They removed him from speaking for the rest of the conference. They came that night, and the leader apologized to the group for that word that came and said that was not a word from the Lord. And they said, Bruce Wilkinson will never come back to that conference again. I think there should have been a different response. But there wasn't me. And there wasn't thousands of others who heard him and repented and who heard the word of the Lord and stirred inside of us. That was the author of the prayer of James. This morning, Holy Spirit asked me to share with you a prayer that he taught me to pray. Every day, at the beginning of my day, in the shower, standing under the flow of cold water. And I know I've lost a pile of you right there. You two gentlemen, can I grab you for a second? Have you get one of these out? Could you go to the other side? I was just going to put it up on the board, and then this morning the Lord just said, no, I want you to write it down. I want you to give it. It's my handwriting, so God bless you with the gift of discernment to be able to pick it up. Believe me, I took a couple minutes to write it well so that you could read it. I want you to have it in front of you. Tell you while they're handing it out, the genesis to this prayer. It was over 20 years ago now when the Lord introduced Jane and I in this church to the ministry of Craig Hill. How many of you know the name of Craig Hill? All of us should be. I have mentioned him countless times. I'll keep mentioning him until Jesus comes back. The Ancient Past Seminar. One of our people, and I can't even remember who they were. Jane, do you remember who it was that went to the conference, and then they came back and said, you guys need to go. Do you remember who that was? I don't either. They went to the conference. They came back to the church the next Sunday, and they said, Pastor, you got to go. This was such a powerful conference. I've heard that many times from many people who've gone to many things. Jane and I will pray about it. There's a pile of them we just don't feel led to go to as we prayed about this, and the Lord said, I want you to go. So we looked it up. We found out there was going to be one in Sherwood Park. We registered for it. Came, we went to Sherwood Park, and after the first night, when Jane and I were driving home, we looked at one another and we said, we have got to take all of our people through this seminar. We've got to take them all. And we did. Shortly after we came back, the first one we had was a conference with all of our leadership team, and that summer we had 13 weddings in the church, and I went to all of those couples and I said, I won't marry you unless you go to this conference. All 13 went. It was all of our leadership, and all of the pre-marrieds went to this conference. After that, we had countless seminars over the years. We were even blessed. How many of you were here in church when Craig Hill came to our church at the CRE? Was anybody here during that time? Yeah, a couple of us. Craig Hill was speaking at a church in South Edmonton. On the Saturday at the conference, I just felt led, and I said to Jane, I said, you know what? I believe I'm supposed to go up and ask him if he's going to be here and if he would come out on Sunday morning. Jane goes, oh, he's probably flying out. And I went, you know what? All he can say is no. I went up during a break and I said, Craig, just want to ask you, what's your schedule tomorrow? Are you going to be around long enough in order to come out? We are 1 hour away. Would you come out? He said, I'm supposed to fly out in the morning. He says, but let me talk to our director. Call the director over. And I said to the director, she said to me, well, he's supposed to fly out at 9:30. I said, would you be open if we paid to have his ticket changed to fly out in the afternoon so he could come to our church? He goes, I don't see why not. Craig, are you open for that? He goes, sure, that would be great. That morning, one of our people went up to Edmonton, picked him up. He came out. He spoke at the CRE. He shared his heart. It was powerful to have him right after the service. Somebody whipped him back to the airport, and off he went. But it was amazing. Jane and I have had lunch and dinner with Craig and his wife. What's her name again? Jan, that's right. Craig and Jan a number of times. God has used him powerfully, and right now he is being used powerfully in South America. Brazil is just awake to the Spirit of God. And by the way, Brazil has a born-again, Spirit-filled president. Did you know that? That is why he's under major attack. That is why they want to get rid of him. That is why that's the only nation in South America that is not being dominated by the Chinese government right now. That's the only one. If you remember, pray for him. Born again, Spirit-filled president of Brazil. There was a pile of things out of the ancient paths that spoke and just changed lives literally. But I want to just show you again the one that impacted my life incredibly. You know this. I have showed this to you many times. Spirit, soul, body, mind, will, emotion. When Craig Hill talked about inside of every person, there are three areas. The one is our spirit man that is awakened when we become born again. The one is our soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotion. And the other part of this, our body or our flesh. And he made a statement that just came absolutely alive inside of me, and he said this. He said, on these two areas, the body and the spirit, he goes, there is a door. And he said, only one door can be open to influence the soul at one time. If the body door is open, that means the spirit door is closed, and our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion will be dictated by the flesh. He said, if the body, flesh door is closed and this door is open, he said, it will be the spirit who then is in control of the mind, will, and emotion. Can I tell you, when I saw that the first night in Sherwood Park, the light just went off inside of me. And the cry of my heart that night was, God, I need this door closed because this has been affecting my soul for too long. I want the spirit to be in charge of my mind, my will, and my emotion. I want to tell you, it wasn't long after hearing this, the Lord and I were talking one day, and I've shared this with you before, but I need to say it again. The Lord said to me, he said, Colin, how did Jesus keep his mind pure? He said, how did Jesus keep his mind pure? I need to tell you, I have never struggled with pornography. It's not been one of my battles. It is for many men. It's not one of mine. I struggled with something worse than pornography. Far worse. In fact, recognizing strongholds pornography is a very easy one compared to the one I struggled with. I struggled with pride. I struggled with judgmentalism. struggled with a critical spirit. Pornography is nothing compared to what I had to battle with. If you have pride, what you battle with. But that day, the Lord and I, it wasn't about pornography. It was about purity in my thinking. So the Lord said to me, Colin, how did Jesus keep his mind pure? And I began to think about it. One of my first thoughts was, well, he was the Son of God. He was God. That's how he did it. He was God. That was my response. And I said, well, God, he was God. That's how he did it. And God said to me, he didn't. He said, Jesus did not keep his mind pure. And I stopped. And I had one of those silent moments where it's best not to speak in the presence of God because you know it's going to be wrong again. And the Lord said to me, Jesus didn't keep his mind pure. The Holy Spirit inside of him did. I'll tell you, something went off in me. If anybody believes he kept his mind pure because he was God, there's no hope for me. But the moment he said he didn't do it, Spirit in him did it, that means if Spirit did it for him, Spirit can do it for me. And I want to tell you right there, instantly in that moment, I said, Holy Spirit, I need you to do for me what I could not do on my own. I'm asking you to keep my mind pure, to keep my thoughts pure. Do you know the first thing Holy Spirit said to me? He said, I've been waiting for you to ask. That's what he said. He said, I've been waiting for you to ask me. To tell you, I never thought I could go through a whole day without an impure thought. Let me tell you, in my counseling training and in my psychology training, let me tell you what I was taught. I was taught study after study after study, including Christian men. I was taught that the average man has an impure thought every 5 to 7 minutes. The average man has an impure thought every 5 to 7 minutes. Even as a Christian, I was taught that there is a battle that goes on in the mind. And there's going to be times when I'm victorious in my thinking, and there will be times when I'm not victorious, and there will be a constant battle that is inside of you for purity your entire life. That is the battle of the mind. That's what I was taught. Tell you honestly, I did not believe you could go through an entire day as a man. I'm not even talking about women yet. They got their own issue. As a man and have no impure thoughts. I didn't believe it. But I want to tell you, the next day, I got to the end of my day and the Holy Spirit reminded me. He said, Colin, how is your thought life today? That was the first day, at the end of my day, I looked back, and there was purity in my thinking for an entire day. Does that sound weird to you? I want to share with you the prayer that God began developing inside of me as he began giving me these revelations that I needed to every day. This is how I began my prayer. If you've got your sheet, the beginning of it is not part of the prayer. The beginning of it is a declaration. And the first thing I say is a small reminder, and this is what I do. I'm standing there. I shut the hot completely off. And I let the water, the cold water, cascade over my entire body. There's a whole number of reasons for that, but one of them is I want my body to know it's not in control. There has never been a time when my body has said, Colin, shut the hot water off. Let's stand in the cold. My body has never said that to me. Have any of you ever had your body body say, let's have a freezing cold shower? Anybody just raise your hand, let's do it? No, the body doesn't speak that way. The body's into comfort, not into death. I will not begin this until the water is flowing cold, until it is cascading over my body. The first thing I say, a small reminder, flesh, you are not ruling me today. Can I ask you a question? How many of you speak to your flesh? How many of you? How many of you should speak to your flesh? Some of us wake up in the morning, we have wonderful intentions of getting up and spending time in the Word and in prayer, and our body goes, no, just another 10 minutes, another 10 minutes. Our body speaks to us. And unless we're talking back, that becomes the voice that leads us. Let me tell you, we need to speak to our body in the morning. If I don't talk to it in the morning, my flesh rules. If I don't talk to it throughout the day, my flesh rules. I begin by saying, flesh, you are not ruling me today. The Holy Spirit is. Then I say, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would weld the door of my flesh shut and take your door off its hinges. Take total control over my mind, my will, my emotions. Possess every cell of my being for the glory of your name. You have given me the mind of Christ. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Lead me the way you did Jesus, and I trust you after one time. Let me break that down. I'll tell you the reason I talk to the flesh, Romans chapter 8. Has anybody read the book of Romans? Just raise your hand if you've read it. Okay, you already know this. Romans chapter 8 says this. The body, our flesh, is the enemy of God. Have you read that? My body is not my friend. If I close this door to the Spirit and I open this door up here, my body would not lead my mind, will, and emotions toward God, toward the things of the God, toward the kingdom. My body would not do that. My body would lead it everything in the opposite direction. I've been there. So have you. Let me ask you a question. When your body is leading, how well do you do with purity? When your body is leading, how well do you do with food? How well do you do with gaming? How well do you do with sleeping? How well do you do with exercise? How well do you do with how you spend your time when your flesh is dominating your soul? Our flesh would have us live like worldly people. And for many in the church, it still does. But I tell you, when it is not ruling, when its door is closed, when it comes under the control of the Holy Spirit, this flesh, like a horse that is broken, will do what I tell it to do. In the cold water, you will not rule me. I am ruling you. You didn't want to get up, you're up. I will get up this morning. I will eat what is right. I will think what is right. You will be my servant instead of my master. I will begin talking to my flesh until my flesh is under the Spirit's lordship. And then I begin to pray. First thing I say is, Holy Spirit, I ask you to weld the door of my flesh shut. Let me tell you what I'm asking. I'm asking Holy Spirit to come over here and not just close the door, but I want him to put spiritual weld on that door. Can I tell you why? I have found that that door swings open during the day when I don't want it to. Any of you experienced that? I will never forget when Peter stood in front of Jesus and said, "You're the Son of the living God." Jesus goes, "Wow, the Father revealed that to you." And the next minute he goes, "You're not going to Jerusalem." And Jesus goes, "Satan, get behind me. What happened?" Can I tell you what happened? The door swung from here and swung open there, and all of a sudden he's countering God's will in Jesus' life. I want to tell you what I have found. Holy Spirit is a better welder than I am. Like you, I have tried to go through my day and keep this shut, keep my body from ruling, keep that door closed. I have tried that with my will to keep this closed. What I didn't recognize is this door determines my will. This will doesn't determine my door. A pile in the church are still trying to use their mind, will, and emotion to keep that flesh door. will doesn't have the power to do it. So that prayer is, Holy Spirit, would you weld that door shut so it will not swing open during the day? And then I say, Holy Spirit, I would like you to take this door and not just open it. I want you to take it off its hinges so it's not even there, so it can't slip back when I'm not thinking about it during the day. Take it off. Can I ask you a question? When you were growing up, did your parents ever take your door off of your bedroom? Any of you ever have that happen? It's one of the things Craig Hill talks about. He says, don't get angry with your kids if they're doing stuff back there they shouldn't do. Just say, if you continue to do it, you're losing your door. It's a great consequence. I say, Holy Spirit, would you take that door off? Can I tell you what you already know? Somebody is going to control your mind, your will, your emotion. Somebody is going to do it. This morning, somebody is doing it. This afternoon, somebody is doing it. The only question is, will it be your flesh and body, or will it be the Spirit of God? Somebody is going to control it. I don't want it to be my flesh. I want it to be you, Holy Spirit. The only choice I have is the empowerment of the Spirit of God, the power to choose which door stays open. One of the prayers, you've heard me pray it every Sunday in church since God gave me that revelation, Holy Spirit, I need you to control my soul, my mind, my will, my emotion. Would you possess my mind? Would you possess every cell of my being? What that means is, I want Holy Spirit to be Lord. I want Him to be Lord over my soul. Can I tell you what you already know? Jesus was possessed. He was possessed. He was possessed by the Spirit of God such that not once did His flesh open this door and determine what happened here. If that would have happened once, He would have been disqualified from the cross. Can I tell you, He was possessed by the Spirit of God, so the mind, will, and emotion always did what the Father wanted. I want to be possessed. Take control of every cell of my being. Let me give you the mind of Christ. Sorry, you have given me the mind of Christ. Look at that on that sheet. I declare that every morning. If this door is closed and the Holy Spirit is leading me here, that means my mind, I have been given the mind of Christ on the inside of me. Empower me to think your thoughts, not my thoughts, not flesh thoughts, not demonic thoughts, not devil thoughts, evil thoughts, your thoughts inside of my mind. Can I ask you a question? Can you imagine if the only thing going through your mind is what went through Jesus' mind? Can I tell you a verse you know? As a man thinketh, what? No wonder the enemy wants our body to determine what happens here, because as a man thinks, guess what? He will become. He will do. That is what the Holy Spirit did for Jesus. That is what Holy Spirit does for us. Let me say it clearly. The true sons and daughters of God are led by their flesh. Why aren't you standing? Thank you, Seth. There are those who call themselves sons and daughters who are led by the flesh. But the true sons and daughters, this is not me. The true sons and daughters are led by the Spirit of God. I will never forget when the Lord said to me, Colin, you trust the devil more than you trust me. say that to you? I was standing in the shower, and I was praying this prayer that God taught me to pray in the morning. I won't begin my day without praying it. I won't begin without asking for possession. I won't begin by declaring I have the mind of Christ. When I was standing finishing my shower, the Lord said to me, "Call." He said, "You trust the devil more than you do me." And I just said to him out loud right there, I said, "No, I don't. I said, I trust you more." He said, "Colin, you believe that if you ask the devil to possess you one time, you believe that the devil would not wait for a second invitation. He would come, he would enter inside of you, and he would take over your mind, will, and emotion, and he would flow through you and do his stuff. You believe if you opened that door one time, it would happen." I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "That's why I don't invite him. I won't even play with him." He goes, "But then you ask me to possess you. You ask me to take control of you. And all day long, you are doubting that I have done it. You believe the devil will do it after one time, but you doubt when you ask me." I said, "You're right." I said, "You got me. I have greater faith in the devil than I do in you." Right there, I repented. And at the end of that prayer, at the end of that, I always say, "And I trust you after one time. I trust you after one time." For years, I did not know how to make Holy Spirit responsible for my life. I thought I was responsible. I thought it was my job to keep my mind pure, my job to think upright, to talk right, to act right, to live right, to witness right, to do right. I believed that was my job. And can I tell you, I tried. I tried hard, like all of us have tried hard. I tried, and I failed, and I tried again, and I succeeded, and then I failed, and I tried again, and I failed. So have you. I can't tell you how tiring that is. Yes, I can. Because you're tired doing it too. I don't have to tell you. When you get something by revelation, and when I got my revelation, I was trying to do something that I could not do. I was trying to do what the Holy Spirit's job in me was to do. It changed my life. The cry of the disciples was, "Lord, teach us to pray." Can I tell you, this is still the cry of true believers. I want to say for those of you this morning, when I ask the question, how many of you want your prayer life to be better? The cry is, "God, I want it to be better. It is not what it needs to be. It is not what you had. Would you radicalize my prayer life and take me to another place?" This morning, God wanted me to share with you. Why? Because there was a pile in the church, in here, and online, who are still trying to live this Christian life by the power of the flesh. Lord said, "In these days, that will not stand." I want to tell you what you know. We are entering into days where the lukewarm is going to disappear. Zach, have you come? We're entering into days when those going through the motion are going to begin to move off to the side and will no longer be a part. We are entering into days where those who have a religious spirit are not going to hear the voice of God. They're going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. We are entering into days where the church of form is going this way, but the true church is going this way. I will never forget in Argentina, I sat under the teaching of Carlos Anacondi that God used to raise up the revival in Argentina that has swept through how many years it has been there. He looked at us and he made a statement in that auditorium and he said, "You are a as spiritual as you choose to be. I sat back and went, I guess I can't blame my parents anymore. I guess I can't blame my pastor. I guess I can't even blame the devil. Me. The power God has given me is the power to determine which door is open and who will be Lord over my mind, my will, and my emotion. That is true with you. Would you bow with me this morning in a word of prayer? Father, what an amazing picture. And I know you set it up this way, that when Jesus was off praying and communicating with you, you stirred in the hearts of the disciples to come and to hear and catch a glimpse of the fire, the intimacy, the oneness with you. You stirred inside of them when Jesus finished praying. They didn't interrupt. When he finished, they went and said, Jesus, teach us. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to communicate with the Father. Teach us how to do what you do. We want the results. We want the intimacy. Teach us, Lord. Jesus, you taught. I thank you in the midst of all the Old Testament that you captured in two verses. Prayer by a man who sought your heart by the name of Jabez. In spite of his pain, in spite of his beginning, in spite of his name, he called out to you and he said, Lord, bless me. Enlarge my territory. Protect me from harm so that I will be free of pain. Oh God, if he could pray it, we can pray it. Thank you for bringing us to a place where we are able to pray and ask you, Holy Spirit, to do things in our life that we could never do on our own. We confess we have tried, we have tried, we have tried. The door of the body and flesh just keeps opening up. Holy Spirit, thank you for the revelation that it was you inside of Jesus who empowered him to be who he was, to think what he thought, to do what he did. It was not him. It was you in him. Because of that, we have hope that with you in us, we can experience the same. Before I lead you in a prayer, I just need to say, if there is anybody here or anybody online who is watching and listening, as I have been sharing this morning, you know there has never been a time in your life where you have prayed as an act of your will to invite Jesus into your life to be Lord and Savior. Right now you have a stirring in your spirit and that is what you are wanting to do. I just invite you to pray after me and just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe you rose again from the dead. As an act of my will, I invite you now to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and be my Savior. I ask you to be Lord over my mind, my will, and my emotion. Fill me with your Spirit. And empower me to be and do what I never could on my own. If you prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. The Bible says you have been born again. I would love to hear from you. But for those of you here, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, I am waiting for you to ask to stop battling, to stop fighting, to stop trying it in your will, to stop trying it with your flesh. You cannot do what I can do for you. Ask me. Invite me to weld the door of your flesh shut, so it no longer determines your thinking and what you eat and what you do with your time and where you place your eyes. Invite me to weld it shut. Invite me to take the door off its hinges so I can possess your mind, will, and emotions and be Lord of your life and lead you moment by moment. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I invite you to take a quiet moment just between you and the Lord. It is the cry of your heart. I invite you to pray, Holy Spirit. Possess me. Take your door off its hinges. Be Lord of my mind. Be Lord of my will. Be Lord of my emotions. Empower me to put my flesh to death. Empower me to speak to my flesh. It is speaking to me. Lead me the way you led Jesus. Jesus made an amazing statement when he walked on the earth. He said, how many fathers, when a son comes and says, Dad, could I have a loaf of bread? Would give him a rock? Or, Dad, could I have a fish? And would give him a scorpion. He goes, no. He goes, even evil dads, when the son comes and asks, will give him bread and will give him a fish. He goes, how much more? How much more will your Father in heaven, when you ask him, Holy Spirit, fill me. How much more will he do that for his children? Father, today you have sown seed into good soil. I declare today it will not be forgotten, it will not be choked out, it will not be robbed by demonic birds that would snatch it and keep it from having its full effect. Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. When anybody asks, sure to give you the glory, because we know it wasn't us, it was you in us. I invite you to stand today and receive the blessing of the Lord. I declare to you today, as a child of God, what you already know. The Lord bless you today. Keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and fill you with his peace and his Spirit. May he lead you as he led Jesus. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Everybody receiving said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week. We'll see some of you throughout the week. Next Sunday, 10 o'clock, same time. Reminder again on the information table, anything you need to sign up, make sure you do that.